It's early 2000s. Sicilian wines are coming out from decades of bulk production. It's thanks to the effort of the believers in the quality of the region wines. The island is buzzing with new prospects. Investors are coming from all over Italy. One region has gained momentum once again, as it has over the past centuries. This region is Mount Etna. Its unique soils, climate, grape varieties, and abundance of old vineyards has piqued the interest of investors from far. This workforce is ready to push the wine of Mount Etna to another level, raising it to the global market interest. 20 years have passed, and the wine of Mount Etna are undoubtedly some of the most exciting of the island and all of Italy. Our Sicilian guest, Dario Pizzuto, has traveled far and beyond the region, visited countless times, and published many articles on the wonder of the region wines. We will talk about the aspects, soil, history, and more. Hi, I'm Mattia Scarpazza, and this is the Looking Into Wine podcast. Wine and winemaking can be complex, but this podcast has a simple mission. We want to give you the skills and tools to harness your passion about wine. Through this series, we will shine a spotlight on some of the different regions, processes, and concepts that shape the fascinating world of wine. I hope you're enjoying the show and your own journey, looking into wine. Welcome to today's guest on Looking Into Wine, Dario Pizzuto. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much for inviting me in your podcast series. So I'm really glad to be here.
Often Etna is called an island on an island because the climate is completely different compared to the rest of Sicily. What do you see on that?
Yeah, it's really particular because, of course, you have a volcano which is 3,000 meters above sea level. And on this volcano, you have different kind of climate, starting from the north and then going to the east and then south. And this is a unique climate, and let me call it terroir, as like our French cuisine like to call it, because it's really unique, because you have this volcano. So starting from the territory, you have the volcanic sand, which is above a lot of different layers of very poor clay, mainly based of tuff and basalt, which is really poor, as you know. And this really tries very well the native grapes like Minella and Caricante talking about white grapes, and Nerello Mascalese and Nerello Cappuccio talking about black grapes. Above that, you have an important impression made by the sun. Because especially on the east, and you have really a great exposures to the sun, and also you have a lot, and again, especially on the east, you have the sea influence. So there is very unique terroir made by soil, the volcanic soil made by the sea influence, and of course the sun that above there.
Well, what altitude are we talking about on the Mount Etna? What is the average altitude?
Yeah, the average is starting by, let me say, 500 meters above sea level, up to, for the dock, is up to almost 900. But actually, some vineyards are up to 1,100, especially by now, rising, you know, temperatures. Wineries are trying to go even above 1,100. They're really going well, with great results till now.
Obviously, the altitude brings a diurnal range, maintaining the acidity, making the lovely difference between day and night, where you maintain acidity. What What is it like the ripening season? I expect it to be quite long for, like, especially the black grapes, which are we going to talk about in a minute?
Yeah, it's quite long and it's going to last till mid-October and in some vintages till the 1st of November, so first day of November, which is quite long comparing for what is usual in Sicily. So this quite long period is able to ripen very well, especially black grapes, which can get all the things around to build a great bouquet, great perfumes, aromas, you know. So it's really a unique place.
Exactly. And so we're talking about the grapes. So what are the grapes and then the two grapes? Because I know that 80% of the planting is made by the black grapes variety. Etna is pretty much focused on the black grapes. You got some white, but what can you tell us about the two black grapes?
About black grape, you have a native grape, which is Nerello, which comes in two, let me say, kind of different grape, but they share actually a lot of DNA stuff, which are Nerello Mascalese, which is the most planted because it was the most common even in ancient times above Etna, and Nerello Cappuccio, which now is really a few hectares, because it's not easy to build, you know, to try to replicate the Nerello Cappuccio, because we have really few hectares. So these two are the two most common, and they of course express themselves differently throughout all the flanks of Mount Etna.
Yeah, the beauty of the wines of Mount Etna that they can often be compared to Burgundy or Barolo, because they're so expressive of the area where they come from, and there is this much focus on it, and I think it's very different compared to a lot of other areas, especially in the south of Italy.
Yeah, it's a very unique place because we are used, even, you know, let me say, I know that we are talking about Etna, but it's interesting, in my opinion, to bring Nerello Mascalese and Nerello Cappuccio also in other places in Sicily. Why, for example, in Faro, DOC, which is like 25 hectares, the smallest in Italy, made by Nerello Mascalese, Nerello Cappuccio, and Nocera. They express quite differently rather than Etna. So Etna is a unique place. And yes, you can find a lot of similarities with Nebbiolo and with Pinot Noir. And actually, you know, it's a funny thing, because if you compare very young Nebbiolo, a very young Nerello Mascalese from Etna, and a very young Pinot Noir, is quite difficult in a blind tasting to get the right one, because they really share a lot of characteristics, a lot of aromas. Even, you know, in a Yaut Nerello Mascalese, you can find the violet, for example. While in other areas, you can find some white pepper, which is also common in some young Nebbiolos. So yes, they share quite a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But I also know that they're focusing, they're redoing the dock. It has some influence from the regionality, because I know then there is this Contrada, which is unique. What is so particular about the Contradas?
Yeah, talking about the territories of Etna, you know, when the dock came in, which was in 1968, there was a difficult times get the right vineyards, get the right thing within DOC. DOC is between 500 to like 800-850 at maximum meter above sea level. But actually, what interesting is that you can find a lot of difference between plots and plots, even close plots, because if you have let's say the plot A, even in 0.2 hectares on the right or on the left, you can find a totally different terroir.
So there's a compromised different soil, different expect.
Yeah, it's mainly different soil, different expect, so different exposure to sun, because as you know, Etna is made by those beautiful terraces. So vineyards are planted in terraces because historically it was difficult to create vineyards. So what they did in the past is to actually pick the mountain to try to get place for the earth where you can thrive your vineyard. So that's also quite interesting about Etna and really the unique place and the unique viticulture there, because it's really an extreme viticulture, extremely difficult not only for the natural facts like the sun, like the temperatures, and so on, but also due to soil, due to territory. And so when they then the DOC came in 1968. We were, of course, far behind our French cousin about the you know, cru meaning. They started like in late 80s, but most late 90s to identify those particular vineyards where Nerello Mascalese and Nerello Cappuccio expressed themselves really differently and better, of course, and in more elegance or more power, for example. And so it was when the Contrade started to born, and you can find those differences throughout all the flanks of Etna, starting through to the north, going to the east, and going down to the south. For example, talking about the north, you can find beautiful Contrada like Guardiola, for example, like Porcaria, for example, like Feudo, which is really big. Or going to the east, Commune of Milo, which is particular because it's the only place you can find the Etna Bianco Superiore. And even going to the south, where there is, like east, more exposure to the sun, but in particular, the most exposure to the sea, because we are like 20 to 30 kilometers to the sea. You can see that not only the volcanic soil, not only the particular exposure to the sun, but also and especially the exposure to the sea, that helps to decrease temperatures, as you well said in the beginning, to during the night.
Okay, fantastic. I mean, when you were saying about the different vineyard having to be unpicked, so I imagine that the generally the vineyard holding are quite small and are quite fragmented. You expect very small vineyards compared to other areas. So this, I think, is of great adding to the new crewing system that is coming up on the Mount Etna. There are now, I think, 133.
Yeah, 133. You are correct. Yeah, and yes, there are really small plots. Some of that are really like 0.8 hectares or something like that. So it's really, really small. I think that can really help a lot to identify the best expression of Etna, but also to create a well-known name about Etna vineyards and about their expression throughout the world.
Fantastic. And when you were saying about this old plotting, and then I imagine like the vineyard, how they manage, how do they look like? What sort of vineyard management do they have to use?
Yeah, let's consider that vineyards in Etna are really long before the phylloxera, as I said previously. And due to the volcanic soil, so the sand that you have above and the high altitude there, phylloxera died when came in. So around Etna, you have a lot of pre-phylloxera vines that tries like 120 years old vines or even 130-140 years old vines, so they are really, really beautiful. Because of that, and because when Etna started to came out as a great terroir in Sicily and also in Italy, there were a lot of ancient vineyards to recover, and starting from especially from the start of our 21st century, companies like Franchetti, for example, or even Benanti, which was there till since mid-90s, or Cornelissen, for example, started to recover those vineyards, so to recover and not to explant, so to put off old vines, but instead of that, they recover those vines. And so we have to be really thankful to them for what we have right now above Etna.
It's an historic parting of Italy, viticulture region. But I mean, these people, Franchetti and Cornelissen, they came about in early 2000, and they sort of brought up the whole region, a revival to this. And then now you see a lot of different projects, new people coming forth, new investment, where we do see, like, do you see any more upcoming investment for the region? What do you see?
Absolutely. Thanks to them, and thanks to the fact that they brought actually Etna on the international market because they had the power to do it, the investment started to rise. Let's think that in those times, 1 hectare, even in the best contrada, was like 50,000 euro per hectare. Now is like 150,000 per euro. So there was in less than 20 years, it was like a great rising, and which is great not only for the wine industry but also for the economic of Sicily. A lot of also big companies already in Sicily, like Donna Fugata, for example, are buying plots and are building new vineyards there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see this influence from Mount Etna. You see there's people coming forth, being recognized, being exported internationally, this new wave of people coming in. And I mean, obviously Etna is a sort of like C-shaped region, and it's not, I mean, it's 1,000 hectares, as you said. Where are they importing, and what side are they, you see the major investment, and what are the difference between these areas? It's quite interesting.
Starting to the fact that we can identify three major areas around Etna, let me call it flanks or slope. The first one is on the north, which is where the best reds are produced, because the exposure of the sun is all throughout the day, which is really important, and where you can find the higher altitudes. Starting from there, which was and which is even today the most important part of Etna, people is going underneath the level of DOC, so it's going underneath even 500 meters above sea level to try to acquire earth and put vineyards there. But also, and I think it's where we will find the most interesting things, is above 1,000 meters. It's really a few hectares right now there, but a lot of companies are starting to put there. And, you know, because the DOC is going in a specific range, above those level and under those levels, you can put on your labels Etna DOC. So there will be the classical EGT or EGP. Moving towards the east, where we can find more exposure to the sun, we actually find the rise of white of Etna, so the typical Caricante. Maybe we didn't say previously, but the white grapes are major. Of it is Caricante, which is another native grape, and Minella, which is also another native grape. And there you can have the best white wines of Etna. And that's why there is, especially in the Milo commune, which is really a small town in the province there of Catania, you can only tried there the Etna Bianco Superiore, which is really elegant and also powerful expression of Caricante. For example, one of the beautiful expression of this is the Pietra Marina by Benanti, which is really amazing white wine. Moving to the south, and of course, saying that we are also decreasing the price by hectares because the most important are on the north. We are going from on the north and northeast, more elegant, where red tribes, and going to the south, we are going through more powerful wines, more powerful, mostly red, but also whites.
Is it warmer in the area?
Yeah, it's quite warmer because the exposure of the sun is really direct and is really almost throughout the half of the day, so between 6 a.m. And noon. So you get really the powerful of the sun. And but there really an help come from the sea, because you are really close to the sea, and it's beautiful because you can feel those sapidity, you can feel those aromas of the sea, because of course they're really close. And then going to the south, we find a lot of reds and whites. I don't want to say of less quality. I can say different, really more powerful, more structured wines, which is good, of course. But of course, it's also where price by hectares are the lowest.
It's so exciting because you spoke about three sides of the mountain and three different styles of wine. And obviously, this reflected to the quality and the potential of the sites. We say that there's a lot of investment and a lot of from outside. What do you see in the vineyard, the winery? What sort of style do you see that are coming forth quite now, more like towards new oak or large oak? What is the style for the reds and possibly the white? What is the in the vineyard? What in the
Yeah, of course, style is affected by vineyards because you, of course, want to elevate what you have to underline your major features of all of your vineyards. So the style is different between the flanks of Etna from north to east and south, but actually the majority of experiments are not going, in my opinion, towards oak, because, for example, is usual. Almost everyone use large oaks or very exhausted barrels. As you can see, for Pinot Noir and then and with Nebbiolo, you can't put really a Nerello Mascalese in a new oak because you would kill all the aromas and the characteristics. So the majority is in very old oak or very large oak, and of course used once, never new. The experimentation is going right now for what I saw, for what I've seen, is going to new shape of oak, like the egg, for example, made by oak. A lot of experiment is going on with cement. Someone is going with amphora, but let me say is not so common on Etna because, as I said before, Nerello Mascalese, but even the white wines, like Caricante, like Minella, are really delicate. So going to with a strong vinification, so like amphora could drive to totally different wine, which is okay, which is totally fine, but of course doesn't identify, in my opinion, Etna. And to answer also your questions about what's new around Etna, I think that a lot of interesting things are coming by planting other kind of vines. There are going a lot of experiments, especially with Pinot Noir and or Riesling, for example, which incredibly gives great wines. I tested some really great Rieslings from there, really great Pinot Noir. So it's really exciting. So not only the native grapes, which of course are the best there, because we have always to underline the native grapes, but also vines like Pinot Noir or Riesling, for example.
Fantastic. I mean, it sounds like there is so much buzz, so much movement now with Riesling, Pinot Noir. It sounds like something very interesting, and I can imagine soon there's going to be some blends of the Caricante and maybe Riesling, or you can find.
Actually, they are already doing that. There is, for example, Planeta, which because Planeta was planting Riesling vineyards, and before the Riesling production goes well, I mean, goes to real production, so 4 or 5 years vineyards, they're actually blending Caricante and Riesling, with small portion of Riesling, of course. And now they are producing 100% Riesling. So it's really, really interesting what's coming for Etna in the next years.
Fantastic. And I mean, one of the things while I was reading your articles, there was this Quota 1000 AGT, which we'll talk about, but also this Etna Spumante, which I personally never tried, and I don't know much about it. What is it?
It's, you know, going also throughout experimentation, you can find really beautiful things. And in my opinion, one of that is our Metodo Classico from Champenoise, from especially Nerello Mascalese. They started some experimentation in the late 90s. And I can say that they are really great wines, because they bring acidity, they bring really those delicate flavors of Nerello Mascalese, and I think is beautiful expression. But let me say also this, that sparkling wines are also coming from Caricante, 100%, really, really interesting wines, but also someone is producing 100% Cataratto, which also the other white grapes permitted in Sicily, is not, let me say, native of Etna, because it's widespread throughout Sicily. So you can find especially in the province of Trapani, where is the classical Cataratto. But you can find some hectares also on Etna, and they are producing great also sparkling wines by Cataratto or Caricante, 100%. So really, really interesting wines.
Well, Dario, I think you have explained in quite a lot of details what Etna is, and you gave us a lot of explanation. And, well, I'd like to thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really glad to be here to be a part of your great podcast series. So thank you very much again for your time.
You joined the conversation today with Dario Pizzuto on Looking into Wine. If you enjoy learning about Etna, I would suggest the book The World of Sicilian Wine from Francis Di Savino and Bill Nesto, who are going to appear on the podcast soon. You find the link below on the show notes. Also, be sure to go on mattiascarpazza.com and remember to join our mailing list now to receive the latest news and projects that are coming up. If you like the podcast, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartMusic, and every major listening app, as well as at mattiascarpazza.com, where you can listen to the podcast freely and early. Music produced by Samuele Di Nardo, and a special thanks to today's guest, Dario Pizzuto.